Chapter 12. Worse Fate. Sirens blared as a single police car pulled up the road.
I hate coming into these reclamation zones, Jonesy. Greg looked around at the barren area.
We all wish the Third War hadn't happened, man. Quit complaining. It ain't like we're being sent to a red zone, and we got a job to do. Trust me, you don't want to piss off someone with enough money to trigger a gold alert. Let's just check it and be done.
But that wave, man. Some cosmic-level shit just happened, and we're out there checking on some rich kid that probably just has a blown tire.
Jonesy agreed with his partner, but Greg's bitching didn't change anything, and it just worsened his mood. His tone went from friendly to commanding. His partner was loyal like a bulldog, but sometimes he only responded to a bark.
Quit complaining.
Greg grunted but snapped his lips shut. Relenting after a couple minutes, Jonesy tried to take the sting out of it. He was the senior officer, but he didn't like to roll like that if he could avoid it.
Look, man, we have no idea what's happening. All we know is that a VIP's car sent out an automated signal. You're probably right, just a spoiled rich kid, and we'll be back to the city in 10. Besides, I heard Marcia responded to a VIP call last month, and the guy gave her tickets to the Falcons game. At the 50.
Greg looked sullen for a second, but then gave a grin.
That's just because Marcia probably put out.
As if you wouldn't to get those tickets.
Greg started to retort, but then shrugged. No point when the man was right. Pride had never been high on his list of priorities.
Besides, Jonesy continued, whatever that wave was, it's high above our pay grade. Be happy we're out here. People are losing their shit in the city. Not only are the citizens panicking, but every criminal in ATL is taking advantage of the confusion. I hear the governor has already called out the National Guard.
Really?
Greg sounded just a bit too interested for Jonesy's liking. The redneck's family was probably in on the looting.
Really? So let's just take care of this brat, then we'll drive slow getting back. There's no way they're letting us go at the end of shift. But at least we can stay out here in the country rather than dealing with a shit show in the city.
Greg thought about it before grudgingly admitting,
good call. Let's go change a rich kid's tire so he doesn't have to risk breaking a nail.
Jonesy drove a couple more minutes before turning a final corner. Both officers' mouths dropped open as they took in the scene. Greg turned towards him and lamely observed,
I guess it's more than a flat tire.
What they saw looked like something out of the war. A gray SUV was slammed so hard against a tree that branches had pierced the front of the car like spears. Blood was splattered across the inside of the windshield on the passenger side. As their squad car rolled closer, they saw a dead woman pinned in place. That was the least concerning part about the scene. On the other side of the street was a crater. It looked like a bomb had gone off. Looking around, it looked like the burning wreckage had been a car of some sort. It was hard to tell because pieces of metal were spread all over the road and grass. Several nearby trees were burning merrily. There weren't any remnants larger than a suitcase. As the wind shifted, Greg could smell burned fuel and scorched trees. With resigned hope in his voice, Greg asked,
"The report you got? Was the VIP in the SUV?"
If the person they were looking for was in the exploded vehicle. He'd heard his own stories about cops responding to gold alerts. Not all of them had happy endings for the police involved, especially if they belonged to powerful families. Who knew what a disappointed billionaire would do?
Nope,
Jonesy responded, slowly shaking his head.
The auto call came from a hover truck.
Crap,
Greg cursed softly.
No one could have lived through that. Still thinking it was a good idea to take this call?
Jonesy glanced at his partner, annoyed, but couldn't rebut the accusation. He had taken the call expecting this to be a simple and convenient way to get out of the city. He wasn't a hero and wanted no part of the panic going down after that gray wave thing. Parking the car, he focused.
Look, we're here now, and we already radioed in to dispatch. They know we're here, so just follow protocol. I'll canvass the area. Even though the city is stretched thin, sooner or later they'll send a higher-up for a VIP. Once that happens, it's not our problem anymore. Let's just do everything by the book and not give whoever shows up a reason to climb up our ass. Plus, there might be a survivor.
A survivor? Of that?
Greg asked incredulously, gesturing to the explosion site.
No, idiot, Jonesy responded in derision. The driver of the SUV.
He walked up to the vehicle, careful not to touch anything.
Unless you think this lady crawled into the passenger seat to bleed out after the accident.
Annoyed, Greg said,
maybe the impact threw her over.
Did the impact buckle her up, too?
His partner asked, looking through the shattered window.
Shut up,
Greg muttered, calling the situation in. It only took a minute to find a body. To both of their surprises, the man was still alive. His clothes were charred, and one leg was twisted at an unnatural angle. His entire front was cooked and covered in blisters, but he was breathing. They stabilized him, running the ABCs, airway, breathing, and circulation. There wasn't any major bleeding, and his breath was coming strong. The man was unconscious, but they'd have to wait for the ambulance to arrive to address that. Greg called in the update.
Must not have been that close when the truck exploded, Jonesy observed.
He'd seen his fair share of explosion victims during the war, and hundreds of car accidents on the job.
He's fucked up, but he's one lucky son of a bitch. If he'd been anywhere near a fuel cell explosion, we might only find charred bone.
Greg was about to nod when his phone chirped. Looking down, his mouth suddenly went dry. Elbowing his partner, he showed him the screen.
I know who the VIP was.
Reading the name, Jonesy's face paled. He turned back to look at Finn's battered and unconscious face. With a bit of pity, the cop spoke again.
I take it back, buddy. You might be a son of a bitch, but you sure ain't lucky. Not if the Lotus blames you for this.